management session this afternoon, and there'll be lunch served. There's a cost for that of $2, so please be aware of that. Also, we have our Valentine's and New Year bake sale happening today just outside the doors. So as you leave this morning, please look at some of those baked goods. Some of our Soul Sisters have helped in preparing. They're for our celebration of Valentine's this week and New Year's. Also, you'll notice number 5 here, we have our children's choir performance. That will be happening this week on February 21st, 2 o'clock at Henderson Mall. So please welcome you to come out and encourage the kids and see them perform at Henderson Mall. Also, you know we have our annual general meeting next week as well, encouraging you, if you're a member here at Westwood, to come and join us for that membership meeting. And we have a baptism and membership class beginning next week. That's in conjunction with the Sunday school class that I'm teaching on the foundations. So if you are interested in being baptized or in taking up membership, we encourage you to consider taking one of those two classes. So next week is the baptismal part. Week following that will be the membership part. If you're a member here, again, we encourage you to attend the general meeting. To whom shall we go? Number 10 there on your items. To whom shall we go is a survey that's been taken by Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. And that's particular for you if you are Canadian-born. If you're a Canadian-born individual of Chinese descent, this is through the Chinese churches. It's already been done a lot in our Caucasian churches across Canada, coming out with statistics and everything, and that's being also generated within a Chinese context. So they're wanting to have people of Chinese extraction that are born here in Canada and are presently attending a church, or maybe they've left the church. They want both of those people to be interested in coming and taking the survey. So if you would like to help out with that, I have some more information that I can pass out to you following the service. But we're looking to help EFC with this kind of statistics. And if you yourself, or maybe you know somebody that has left the church and you think they might be able to help with this, please welcome them and give me their information. We'll definitely be in contact with them in the weeks ahead. Also, our recommended book, The Calvary Road. We still have a few copies left. We have 4 left today, and Bert tells me that we'll get 6 more this next week. So we're still selling them at a buck, which is a really good price for this book. And again, it's all about revival. How can we be revived as a church, as an individual, and what does that look like? Would you bow your heads with me as we now look and intend to look at God's word this morning? Father God, we come to you and ask that you would indeed instruct us by your word and by your Spirit's work within our hearts today. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us not only as individuals, but as your church, to exalt you, to honor you, and we have indeed done that in song this morning. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would, again, turn our hearts towards you, turn our hearts as well towards each other as we consider this topic of fellowship that Roy Hessing has in his book, Calvary Road. We pray, Father God, that you would continue to bless our church as we come from such diverse backgrounds. And Lord, we pray that as we consider what it means to be in true fellowship with one another, we know that there's many things that create barriers between us as we come as people of different race, different culture, different language, different locations, different backgrounds. And Lord, all these things can be thrown up in our face in way of barriers to create division between us. But Lord, we know that you have called us as your children. You've called us and said in your word that there is neither male or female, neither Jew or Greek, neither slave or free, but you are all one in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the bond that we have together in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we come to you. Lord, we know in our world that these separations, these divisions are so rife and put before us all the time. We pray that in your church, in your body, Lord, that there would be no such division, that the differences that we experience because of our backgrounds and the difficulties that we experience because of our culture and language, Lord, you would help us to overcome those by the work of your Spirit, by the work of your mighty word working within our hearts, that we would not so much see these as barriers, but as challenges to overcome, that we might love each other as you've loved us. Lord, we pray today that you would so work within your people, your church, as you have called us, your holy people. We ask these things in Jesus' powerful name this morning. Amen. Well, this morning I've entitled the message according to what Hessian has written in his book, The Calvary Way, The Way of Fellowship, The Way of Fellowship. Roy Hessian in The Calvary Road points out to us that in the Epistle of John, you know, there's the Gospel of John, and then there's those three epistles just before Revelations. The first Epistle of John, he points out, talks a lot about light and darkness and what it means to walk in the light and walk in darkness. And in verse 5 and 6, he points out to us, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in this darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Furthermore, in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 9, it says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in the darkness. So we can claim to be in the light. We can even think we're in the light, but really here in the Epistle of John, and as Roy Hessian points out to us, that really fellowship with God, fellowship with the Father that we love and that we seek to adore, that is being able to be tested in way of our connection with one another. Our relationship with one another gives insight into our own hearts and our own lives. If indeed we love God, we should love our brothers and sisters. How much do we know about the person sitting behind us this morning in the pew? It's a test, right? If we really care and we know who is around us and we really care about each other, we'll try to find out who's next to us in the pew. Hi, my name's... I think we should do that right now, right? We forgot to do that this morning. Let's all stand up. This is part of the message and what God's called us to. Find out the person's name and the pew.
You're never supposed to mix bad.
To get to know people in God's family, get to know their names, but more so than just their names, we want to get to know them as individuals. Who are they? Where do they live? What significant needs do they have in their lives? Are they struggling with some pains or some hurts or difficulties? You know, in our day and age, we do struggle tremendously in way of problems and issues. And we really need people around us to help us to overcome those issues and problems in our life. And it's so good to have people that we know that we can journey with, that we can pick up the phone and say, hi, you know, this is Larry, you know, I'm going through some troubles right now, can you pray for me, or can you come over and let's do coffee together, or something along those lines. How we test in way of our fellowship with God is best tested in our fellowship with one another. As we know God, we come to worship God this morning, but also we come to connect with each other. When we care so little and have so little fellowship with those around us, we actually speak of our relationship with God, because indeed we are, as the Epistle John says, walking in darkness. The word fellowship has gained popularity, I believe, through a lot of our social media, but also through the movie industry, and you're probably very familiar with Lord of the Rings and the Fellowship of the Rings, it's called, and the trilogy that they put together, Tolkien put together, and Sauron and Mordor, and these two couple little hobbits that wander around and try to get there and throw a ring into the fire, and all that story, you know. It's an amazing story, and so we have this context of understanding fellowship as something of some people gathered together and loosely going through some adventure. And I think often in the church we get this misconception of fellowship as well. We use it kind of as a tagline or a title to groupings of people. And we misconstrue a lot of times what fellowship means. Often we think it meaning just getting together and maybe socializing a little bit, talking with some other people. That's all well and good, but there's something more in way of the depth of fellowship that is in line here with what Hesian wants us to understand and what God would have us have in our lives as ones that would want revival, ones that would want connection with God. And as, again, we seek connection with God, we more so need connection with each other on a deeper, more intimate level. We commonly come to the scriptures and seek to understand what fellowship is. And I believe this morning, as we look at this section in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, these three verses talk to us intimately about what Christian fellowship is. And so I would read that for you this morning, beginning at verse 23. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised indeed is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Consider with me these three verses. And I believe the Holy Spirit will indeed work amongst us as his church. First of all, holding on to our hope in verse 23. This is a matter indeed of the heart. We must settle before we have contact with anyone else what it is that we are holding on to. We must first embrace hope. Hold fast to hope. Have hope as an enduring factor in our lives. Hope is in God. It's not in a betterment of our future or success. A hope in God. God has made promises to us, and these promises are recorded even in this chapter in verse 11. Chapter 11 and 10. Sorry, chapter 10. And it says in verse 13 and 14 here that he promises that we will be perfected for all time by a single sacrifice. That single sacrifice is, of course, Jesus Christ. Verse 16 continues, "And this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." God's law is written on our hearts and minds. Verse 17, then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary." God keeps his promises. They never fail. God created you first to hope in him, and then to make that hope visible in the effects in your life. This is the reason why you get up in the morning. This is the reason why you go through your day. God has blessed you with all the tools, but the tools are useless unless you have them at your disposal and use them. It's like that workout equipment that sits in your garage or your basement and never gets used, but you have it and you never use it. Of course, your fitness level decreases with each day that passes that you don't use that equipment. We can have all the tools, but unless we engage the tools and use them in our lives, we are at a loss. We don't benefit from those tools. The tool of hope is held before us as one that we would apply in our lives and celebrate in our lives, and it has a focus in our lives. So much so that when we get together with other Christians, with other believers, with those around us, we can share that hope that we have. Secondly, stir up each other to love and good deeds in verse 24 of our text. And let us consider how we can spur one another on towards this love and good deeds. Here's the focus for your life. Here's what your aim is in the morning when you get out of bed. Consider how you can stir each other up, how you can spur one another on. Notice carefully here, it's not what you might expect. Consider how to stimulate each other to love and good deeds, focusing on helping others before loving yourself. Aim at stirring up others to do good deeds, and of course, then the implications would be that if others need help, so do we. If we have to consider how others need help, we have to also look at our own help that we need. How are we doing in stirring up ourselves in way of love and good deeds? The aim of our lives is not just loving and doing good deeds, but helping others as well to be stirred up, to be spurred on. Thirdly, consider each other. Verse 24, consider each other. The word consider means let us consider how to. It's used here in way of, I believe, in chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 1. The same word is used, consider, in way of consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. That is, look at him, think about him, focus on him, study him. Let your mind be occupied with him. Jesus here is the direct object of consider. And I believe the same pattern is used here by the writer of Hebrews to say, consider how we might spur each other on, how we might encourage one another. That is, how to think about, study, focus on how we might encourage one another in way of spurring each other on to that love and good deeds. Literally, this is what God calls us to in considering one another. That is to look at one another, think of the one another, focus on the other, and let your mind be occupied with the other. And the goal of this focus is to think of ways of stimulating them to love. Almost everyone feels aimless in our lives. Why am I getting up this morning? Why is it important to put in another day? Why go to school? Why go to work? It's easy to get in that kind of slump. The feeling there is no point at all, there is no point at all if we just get overwhelmed by the feeling that it's just another day. But if we think, wow, there's other people that I need to connect with, other people that I need to spur on, to encourage, that's a point worth taking. A deliberate and meditated mulling over of other people in our lives. Now, there's a reason to live and focus for our everyday. Every day is new and different. People change. People go through trials, go through difficulties, go through successes. How am I going to spur them on? But the call remains the same. Consider, consider, consider these people in your lives. What are they like? What helps a person become more loving? What is the origin of a person doing a good deed? This is the reason for living, that focus enough to those practical everyday details of our lives that will help each other feel loved and encouraged. The text goes on and says that we are to do good deeds, not giving up meeting together in verse 25. Getting together. How do we go about this? Well, verse 25 gives us instruction, not giving up meeting together as some of the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaches. Two things here. First and foremost, not neglecting to get together. Second, to encourage one another. This text is most often the argument for regular Sunday school attendance or worship or prayer meeting attendance, but I don't believe that's specifically what the text is about. We see it in the one another implies to a mutuality going on here. That there's a depth here in way of our coming together and its significance in that we don't just come together to have a one-way communication, but that we come to have a mutual sharing to one another. Thus, we come with some things that have blessed us and encouraged us in this past week. And we're willing to share that. And I take you back again to the message that Hessian said, in way of what Spurgeon testified is what fellowship is knowing and being known. Knowing and being known. So trying to know the other person. And also being open yourself and being willing to share who you are and what you're about. It's that one another, that mutuality, that sharing back and forth. If it's just a one-way street, that's not fellowship. So unfortunately, here this morning, what's happening in the worship service cannot be spelled out as fellowship in the way of it's a one-way communication. There's not much other people standing up and saying, Pastor, let me think about that for a minute. Can you, I don't agree with that, or yes, I agree with that. There's not much of that communication happening right now. Would you agree? See, it's not happening. Nobody's nodding. But when it's a two-way communication, you're nodding, you're saying, yeah, that's right, I agree with that, that's the truth, or way to go, I like what you did there. There's a two-way back and forth, right? There's a mutuality. In fellowship, there's that kind of mutuality. We come prepared to share something of God's work in our hearts and our lives. Again, the hope that we have in Christ. Those promises that we stand on in Christ, how have we lived those out in this past week? I want to share that with you. I want to encourage you with that this week, this day, this moment that we have together. That's the coming together is all about. It's not coming together and talking about how bad the Canucks are doing or, what I had for coffee, at Starbucks this week. Those are all niceties in way of connecting with somebody else, but we want to know in more detail how you indeed connected with God. What was that like in your week? Did you have struggles getting up in the morning in terms of doing your devotions in the morning, or did that not happen for you during the week? How was your prayer life? What have you been reading in God's Word this week? Can I share with you some of the things that I've been reading in God's Word this week? And there goes the conversation, and then there's that mutual commitment to one another to speak into each other's lives on God's promises and God's Word. I think too often we come together and talk about fellowship in way of maybe the latest game that we're playing or the movie that we've seen in this past week. As Christians, we more so need to be talking to each other about what God has meant to you in this week. And Him being the most important factor in your fellowship and your relationship with this other brother and sister. And then not only sharing, but also asking, hey, what's happening in your life this week in way of what has God done in your heart, in your life? Now, number one, that takes time, doesn't it? It doesn't just take, 2 minutes or 3 minutes. It could take maybe even half an hour to an hour to really hear each other, really understand what's happening in the person's life in way of needs, in way of what God is doing, what God's not doing in your life, some of those struggles that you're going through. But in that mutuality, in that getting together, there's a connecting point between each other. And I believe that's in way of what the Spirit uses to transform our hearts and our lives, to be more devoted to Him. As we encourage one another in this way, in this fashion, we not only have to come on Sunday morning to hear a pastor preach on God's Word, but we're hearing it all the time from each other. Maybe in a phone conversation, maybe in a Facebook posting, maybe in so many other ways can we not communicate that kind of love and that kind of regard and hope in God that we have on a regular daily basis in our relationships with one another. Lastly, I want to mention encouragement, which leaves the question, what kind of encouragement stimulates us to this love and this good deeds that are talked about here? The key, I believe, to encouraging love is given in verse 23 again. Let us hold unswervingly to that hope we profess. The key to love is the kind of love that magnifies God. Embrace your hope. Cherish your hope. God keeps His promises. Without this kind of hope, we all falter in way of our strength, energy, and joy in our lives. To stir up somebody else's to love and good deeds is always to be able to show them God's love, to show them God's care and God's goodness. This past week, my wife said, you know, Larry, I'd really like to see that movie, God's Not Dead. And I said, let's do that. Okay, so we went and rented at Redbox, which is now closed, unfortunately. We picked up the movie and watched it, and I was amazed at two of the characters, a pastor and a missionary friend of his, got together. And every time the pastor was going through a struggle and couldn't see why God wasn't answering or seemingly blocking his way, particularly when he was starting a car that wouldn't turn over, and not only his own car, but the rental car, and then it seemed like every car he got into, he couldn't turn the engine over. And every time he got frustrated, the other pastor or other missionary would be alongside of him, and he would say, God is good all the time. And then he'd pause and look at the other pastor, and the pastor's response would have to be, and all the time, God is good. So every time that happened, they both kind of knowingly looked at each other and nodded their heads. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And it was a moment to say to each other, despite the frustration, despite the hardship, God is still good. And there's something here that God, we're not seeing and we don't understand, but we know that God is good, and He's going to bring it up to a resolution and some conclusion that will amaze us and surprise us, and maybe not even in this life, but maybe in the life to come, we'll more fully understand these frustrations, these pains, these struggles that God brings into our lives. I thought, wow, that is a powerful way to encourage somebody else, is to say those words, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And those simple words doesn't mean to be, you know, a long, sermon, explanation, but those simple words in way of encouragement can really bless a person's life, take their focus off that frustration and difficulty, and put it squarely on the goodness of God. Isn't that a way of encouraging our hearts to hope in God, to be blessed in God, You know, another thing that really encourages my heart, when I was in Bible college, one of the things that the Bible college provided for us as students was little cards. Not anything bigger than an index card, and on the card it said, encourage one another on the top of the card. And that was provided for the students to write a note and put in adjacent boxes or other students that they knew and that had relationships with. And so I remember getting, you know, literally dozens of these cards shoved into my box, and they would say things like, oh, I really like what you said there, or boy, I like the sweater you were wearing this week. Something else, you know, sometimes they were mean, but sometimes they were really encouraging things that other people said they liked, or they thought that was good, and way to go, thumbs up kind of approach. And when I stepped out of Bible college, I thought, man, I really missed that. You know, getting those little encouragement cards. And I have a scrapbook at home that's still full of encouragement cards that I got back when I was attending Bible college over 30 years ago now. So they still have lasting impact and value in my life. And think about that in way of how you could encourage somebody even today, you know, in a small way. Be it a card, be it a comment, be it a small gift. We can encourage each other to say, hey, I know you're going through a tough time, but God is good all the time. And his goodness is here evidenced in this encouragement that I give you. This small gift, this moment of my time, this coffee that I'm willing to share with you. It's not the responsibility of one person, a pastor or a leader in our church, to take on the responsibility of ministry of fellowship. It's all of our responsibility. Each one, these ones that are sitting next to you in the pew, they're responsible for you and you're responsible for them. It's a mutual edification, a mutual fellowship, a mutual bonding. And again, the Epistle of John reminds us, encourages us. Those that walk in darkness are those that don't have fellowship with God, but also those that don't have fellowship with their brothers and sisters. And I have to say, there is some darkness that we are creating in each other's lives because we're not willing to reach out and connect with one another and encourage one another with a word, with a hope that we have received in this week from God. Would you be prayerful this week and mindful of how you can have deeper, more meaningful fellowship with one another? Pick somebody, even randomly, in the phone book and say, you know, give them a phone call and say, you know, this week I heard a sermon from the pastor and it really, you know, impacted me and I felt maybe a little guilty. Yeah, he was riding that horse all over the room, a little guilt action there. And he made me feel guilty enough to say, I need to phone you and just say, you know, I've seen you sitting in the church, but I don't know your name. And I just looked in the directory and I found your name and here. And how's that working? But anyway, here I am phoning you. And yeah, let's get together for coffee so I can find out some more about you. Or why don't we just chat after the service? There's some nice snacks out there. I'd like to buy you a snack from the table, right? A little plug for Soul Sisters. May God grant us more so a depth of love of relationship with one another. You know, we're doing this quite well. I talk to new people that come into our midst, and they say to me, one of the first things they notice about Westwood Alliance Church is their friendliness. It's so good because, you know, people come up to me and shake my hand and say, oh, it's so good that you've come to visit Westwood. And people immediately feel a connectedness there amongst us. If we're doing that well, I think we could even do it better here in way of God's word and God's teaching to our hearts. Today. Let's bow and pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you. And we recognize that we are responsible for each other. We are responsible to love and to care about those around us. And yet sometimes, Lord, we have let them slip through our fingers. We have not taken the opportunity of a phone call, an email, a Facebook post, or whatever it be. Lord, we pray today that you would give us a nudge of your Holy Spirit to encourage us to be more bold in our love towards our brothers and sisters. Lord, that your Spirit might work amongst us, and indeed that we might walk in the light as you are in the light. Lord, we pray that you would so move our hearts and our minds, even in this week. In Jesus' name, we pray.
This is a really old chorus. And let's pray that this chorus is true in each one of us. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken.
Bind us. have the same
right? Together, right? But sometimes we just don't even connect with each other in terms of a physical connection. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we sign and bind us together. And it's so good to gather in your name. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would continue to bind our hearts together in love, in joy, and peace, and in fellowship with you, but also in fellowship with each other. Thank you for these brothers and sisters you have joined our hearts together with us. Pray now as we leave this place that your face would shine upon us, that your grace and your mercy would flow through us to each other and to this world in which we live. We ask these things in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated and after a silent prayer, I'll be dismissed. Encourage you this morning again, if you're interested in baptism in the class next week, please tell me after the service here. Also, if you're interested, please pick up some snacks outside from Soul Sisters and join us downstairs for coffee after the service. And may God bless you as you're going through.